Good afternoon and welcome to South Dakota Perspective here on the Dakota Radio Group. I'm Jody Heemstra. Here with me today, District 24 legislators, Senator Jeff Monroe, Representative Tim Browns, and Representative Mary Duvall. Thank you all for coming in today. Hard to believe session is just 1 week away. I think we'll just start, Mary, since you're in that position, we'll just start to have you each give just kind of a few opening thoughts, comments as we head towards our 95th legislative session in South Dakota.
Thanks, Jody, and thanks for having us in. It's always kind of fun to get together before session and talk about what we think might be coming up, recognizing that there's always plenty of surprises that happen during a legislative session. You know, every year we have concerns about the budget. We've already had the governor's budget address, so that will be a big topic of conversation. In addition, because it's an election year, I imagine that will add a different tenor to some of our discussions and some of the House floor speeches, probably Senate floor speeches, too. But I'm looking forward to it. It's a week away, so let's get this thing started.
Well, I thank you guys for having us on, and I want to thank everybody out there who is interested enough to listen to the program. What I see this year is not a normal year. It's going to be... We have the budget issues, but they're going to be budget issues that are very different from what they generally have been in the past, and I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth. Legislature generally has the final say short of a veto, and so I hope we can make some changes and keep a few things the same.
And Representative Rounds, some thoughts from you.
Well, thank you to KGFX for hosting us. We really do enjoy this opportunity to let the citizens out there know what we're foreseeing for the upcoming session. For myself, this will be my last session. This will be my 16th legislative session. I think that's enough. It's time to move on, to get some new blood in there. There are a lot of topics that the media has brought up. They're going to focus on this session, but the other two kind of nailed it with, I think, the biggest issue we've got is our budget. The governor laid out, based on figures she had back in December, that, you know, we're going to have pretty tight budget. But, you know, we kind of got to look and see what our revenue forecast looks like come February. Things can change. I tell people with the legislature, if you don't like what's happening today, wait a couple of days. Things may just change. With that, I'm looking forward to I'm going to have fun this year. I'm going to work hard for the district, but I'm going to enjoy this final year.
I just want to mention, before we get too much further, just for those who may be curious, just to let them know, Senator Jeff Monroe is a member of the Commerce and Energy and Transportation Committees and chair of the Taxation Committee. Representative Rounds is chair of the Commerce and Energy Committee on the House side, a member of Health and Human Services, and vice chair of the Retirement Laws Committee. And Representative Mary Duvall is a member of the Taxation and Transportation Committees. So obviously you work with all of the legislation that gets to the floors, but in those committees, those are the topics that you will likely have to spend the majority of the time with. The biggest carryover from the 2019 session to 2020, at least in my mind, my memory, I would say, is the industrial hemp legislation legalization in the state. Summer study committee, they studied it, they talked about it. Any thoughts on where we think that's going to go, or if it's going to go anywhere?
The House leadership seems pretty intent on getting something in place because the Federal Farm Bill has authorized it. If it's going to be grown, I think it needs to be done responsibly. Frankly, right now, I don't think it makes sense from an economic standpoint or even an agronomic standpoint for South Dakota farmers to get into this. That being said, I don't think it's the legislature's responsibility to tell farmers and ranchers what they can or cannot grow. I'm thoroughly against marijuana. There are two measures that will be on the ballot in November dealing with marijuana, and I plan to vote no on both of those. I see industrial hemp as a different thing. I expect something will pass, and I expect the governor will probably veto it.
And then the question becomes, can the veto be overridden?
Well, I voted against it last year because there were a lot of complications. And if you can imagine, the prime sponsor of the Senate bill, Senator Youngberg from Madison, stays at my house during session. So you can imagine how my house looked for the duration of the Senate. But I'm against the legalization of marijuana. And in fact, I'm seriously getting a draft written to tax it if it ever does become legal, which I hope it doesn't. But if hemp would, if it mostly, they call it, the term for it is ditch weed, what we call it around here. And if that would help farmers make some money, that'd be okay. It's just the mix that you get when you start talking about a plant that's very similar to another plant, in fact, the same genus. And so it'll be another battle here, and hopefully things will turn out right.
Last year, I did support the industrial hemp legislation. The governor brought up some very good points, I think, that we need to really spend some time addressing during session. I know the summer study looked at those points, and I think I mentioned this earlier, things change up in the legislature, and a lot of negotiations go on, a lot of new information is provided. I'm not going to say one way or another how I'm going to vote on it this year until I actually spend time looking at the bill, talking to the parties involved, listening to the governor, listening to the supporters of the bill, and we'll go from there.
Well, I think we can all agree that I don't think there has ever been and ever will be a perfect piece of legislation that makes absolutely everyone happy. So it's kind of just a matter of working through and, you know, trying to
help the majority.
If I can
jump in there, I have had a few bills that have been perfect, but
somebody amended them and messed them up or something, right? Well, obviously in District 24 here, the governor's budget proposal, which mentioned no increases for education or state workers, obviously both of which of great concern around here, especially. I don't know, Senator Monroe, do you want to start just kind of some thoughts on that proposal, or do we... With revenue numbers changing, are we going to try and work something in?
That's what I was saying about the budget being different from before, the budget proposals. And with zero for state employees, I don't see that happening. The legislature generally has the last say. Nothing's been voted on, as many people believe it has. It hasn't. And we still, the legislature generally tries its hardest to come up with money for state employees and education. What I see is that there's $30+ million going to various programs and zero for state employees, education, and community support providers. I don't see that staying that way. It's not written on stone. There's nothing final. It's all still on the table, and hopefully we can change that, because I'd like to see something done for the state employees.
And Senator Monroe was right there. The governor laid out a blueprint, but that's based on information that was available at the time she presented her budget. And first week, usually the first, second week of February, the legislature comes up with their revenue forecast. And with those figures, they look at the governor's numbers and they look at what the legislature comes up with, and then they've got to determine where the priorities are. South Dakota, we've got three main groups that we worry about, that we want to pay attention to, and that would be our educators, education. Number two would be our state employees, and number three would be the community support providers. We have to take care of all three. I think each one of those positions, each one of those groups definitely has earned, deserves some sort of an increase. The legislature will work to try and find something.
Tag on to what my two colleagues have said. You know, the November budget numbers came in early December, and they looked more positive than we had anticipated. Within the next few days, we should theoretically see what the December budget numbers look like. Based on shopping the weekend before Christmas, I would expect those numbers to look pretty good. When the legislature took a really hard vote to increase the sales tax by 0.5 cent, it was to improve teacher salaries. And we have made progress, but we're still about 2% below what the target is. So I fully expect the legislature, I hope the legislature and the Appropriations Committee will do some soul searching and figure out really what we can afford. But we do need to pay teachers. We need to pay state employees. And we've made progress with community support providers, but we still have more work to do.
And again, the governor's budget proposal is, it's an outline. It's a place to start. Then we pick and pull and piece together and rearrange from there is kind of how the budget process works through the state legislature. So other than, you know, the budget proposal and industrial hemp, looking at the committees that you all are on, are you hearing anything as far as any major bills or potentially hot topics that may be coming our way? Or is this kind of a well-held secret till we get going at this point?
Well, if I can start off, there's a lot of, I guess for me being in here as long as I have, there's still some new things every year, something new. And this year we do have a new executive director of the South Dakota Retirement System. And we, as a group, have met with him, met with the staff. They're bringing some legislation this year, and it isn't earth-shattering legislation, but it's the first package that the new director is bringing. The Department of Labor is bringing a bill that will also be added to the retirement system package. I look forward to working with Mr. Allman on these, working with the retirement system. This is the first new, well, I take it back. My first year it was my second year when Rob Wiley came in. So that was 15 years ago, and then now we got a new one this year. So we're going to see if, you know, how things are going to work. I don't expect any problems. I think it's going to be smooth. The legislation, like I said, isn't earth-shattering. It isn't, you know, any major changes. It's basically some cleanup on some language. But everything there will be positive for our retirees within the state system.
Representative?
Yeah, from the tax side, there was an interim committee. Well, it's actually a standing committee dealing with ag land valuations. They have come forward with a couple of proposals. Whether those bills get sent to the ag committee or the tax committee, I'm not sure. We've been at the productivity formula for about 10 years now. It's growing up, but there are some tweaks that need to be made to improve the process. For example, my brother ranches out in the western part of the state. It's grassland, it's pasture land, but his taxes take up about 20% of the gross revenue for his ranch, and that is not sustainable. So we need to do something, especially for the grassland things that come in. You know, there's some bills that we see every year in taxation, dealing with sales tax on food and some other things that never seem to get very much traction. One of the things that we will be discussing is possibly the Partridge Amendment and how the remote seller sales taxes are coming in and what, if anything, we need to do to deal with that. On the transportation side, you know, in the last couple of years, we've seen a proposal for perpetual license plates. Frankly, our current license plates are not designed to last that long and to make them legible for law enforcement. But I expect that discussion to resurface. And then there's an issue I've been working on. I don't know if I'll bring it in this year or not, but there's a formula that's in statute. It's 35 years old, dealing with how license plate revenues is redistributed back to cities and to counties. And it lists every single city and every single county and numbers out to the 10th decimal point about how much they get in. Well, things have changed with population and road requirements in the past 35 years. So I'm looking at a bill to, instead of listing each county and city, to just put the formula in statute and then have it rebased every X number of years, just to make sure we don't get 35 years behind the curve.
Maybe aligned with census somehow or something with population.
Right. Like, yep.
Senator Monroe, any words or things you're hearing from your committees at this point?
I'll
In general, in the session, the economic issues, the financial issues, they're decided by 105 different votes that go on, and there's a lot of back and forth there. What I see as the biggest issues and probably what are going to hit the press a lot more are the social issues, and that includes like property rights, gun rights, Second Amendment rights, babies, and taxes. So that's why I'm glad I'm chairman of the Senate Taxation Committee, because there's about every kind of tax you can imagine being tried every year, and a lot of most of them die quietly in my committee, which I'm thankful for, because when you tax somebody, you've got to take somebody's money and give it to somebody else, and that's what a tax is generally. So those things I just try to keep an eye on, but the social issues I think are getting more and more significant, both in their country and in the state.
The dynamic last year for the legislative session was, there was a lot of dynamic with a new governor, a lot of new legislators. Do we settle down this year now that we're, the governor's got a year under her belt, the legislators mostly into their second year? Or does kind of the new filing system that you're working with and the fact that it's a national election year, does that just keep that dynamic hype still ramped up and going?
Well, the short answer to that is yes to both. The governor and the governor's staff both have a year under their belts. Last year, the governor's staff was on a really steep learning curve. And, you know, now they're a year into the job. They've started to develop some relationships. The governor recently expressed a desire to communicate more with the legislative branch, and I think that's really positive. But you did hit on something. The goal of the Legislative Research Council is to go paperless. And for some of us who like paper and pen, it's going to be a big adjustment. So that will add perhaps some frustration. For people who are used to the old Legislative Research Council website and pulling up a bill and looking at it, it's going to look a little bit different this year. The training I've had, the system looks fairly intuitive, and I think that once I learn how to do it, it'll be fine. But right now, I'm kind of dreading it.
Change can be hard. We all know that.
I'll follow up Representative Duvall with that system. I've been doing things a certain way for a number of years, and now this kind of hits. And I think a lot of other legislators are in the same boat as I am by the numbers I've been seeing. Usually I'm having calls by this time of saying, hey, I've got a bill. You know, I'll email you a copy. I mean, this is before session. We've got, what, 7 or 8 or 9 pre-filed bills is all we have. The number of pre-filed agency bills are down from what I'm used to seeing. And I don't know if it's all because of the system or because people just run out of topics to write bills on. That would be nice. A lot of the legislation I've seen is cleanup legislation, and that's good. That's always positive when we can clean up and maybe eliminate some statutes and eliminate some language in a bill. But I'm not hearing the conversation in past years. By this time, I've heard of maybe a half dozen to a dozen alcohol-related bills. Right now, I've heard of one, possibly, which means, you know, that's been a lot of the business in the Commerce Committee is the alcohol legislation. And this year, I'm just not seeing the numbers. I'm not hearing about stuff. So I don't know what to really expect this year. Being a second year of a two-year session, usually you see more pieces of legislation, and it's an election year, so you'd see more pieces of legislation. I'm just not seeing it.
Bit of a wild card situation year going on this year. Again, you're listening to South Dakota Perspective here on KGFX of the Dakota Radio Group. I'm News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra, visiting with our District 24 legislators, Senator Jeff Monroe and Representatives Mary Duvall and Tim Rounds. 37 days for the session this year. Does the 37-day versus the 40-day, do you think that factors in a lot as far as how many bills and how things move around? Is there different strategies, Senator?
I don't think so. I think the legislative session is generally just chaos anyway. And we just try to get through it and do things right. And one thing that I would like to express is that people want us to get things done, and my answer to that comment is usually, well, what do you like us to do to you? And so I want things to get better. I want things to be made better. And I don't think the length of the session has a lot to do with it. One thing I do want to see pass this year, well, there's a curiosity in the military. They made a battleship. They're going to call it the USS Pier. And so that'll be interesting to watch that go.
And we know they're going to pronounce it correctly, right? Pier.
No, yeah.
Well, I've heard people on the East Coast calling it the USS Pierre already, but it's going to be the USS Pier. 37 days, 40 days. It really, when it comes down to the legislature, if we think we need another day during session, we will add another day during session. We can add that if the legislation or if the body of both Senate and the House agree to it, we can add another day. Last year, we had an interesting situation where the House started a legislative day at 1 a.m. in the morning, and so we used an additional legislative day, but the Senate just continued their day all night long. So they do things a little differently over there in the Senate, and we have to try to understand what they're doing over in the House, but sometimes it doesn't make sense. One thing that I've noticed over the past few years is we've gone to a four-day work week, and I've never been in favor of that because usually it's the last day of the week on a Friday when legislators want to go home. We start early, and we prayer, pledge, and adjourn. So really no floor activity goes. We have very little done on the floor of the House or the Senate.
It's a three-day week.
So really, and that's what's happening now is we're losing another day. If we have a four-day week, now Thursdays, 1 o'clock we go in, prayer, pledge, and adjourn. So now we're only down to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, in which we can really have some good floor debate, work on legislation on the floor, have our discussions, have our votes. So far, I think we've been pretty lucky. It hasn't come back to haunt us, but at some point, if we have to start limiting debate on important topics, I think it'll have an effect.
There's a saying that no man's life or liberty is safe while the legislature is in session. So the voters probably appreciate that we're there only 37 days. But, you know, like any good college student, we wait until the last minute to get all our work done. I like the four-day weeks for the fact that people who have to travel to Pierre for the legislative session have an extra day at home to catch up with their family, to do their work. You know, last year on the last day of the week, we would do the prayer and the pledge. And then there were a few times that we did at least clear the consent calendar. So, you know, that was something we did a few times last year. I think it's a good idea. I think there were a number of times the Senate actually finished their calendar because they're a little bit better stewards of their time.
Yeah, and the Senate does stick around in those last days. We get our work done. The House is always the ones trying to take off early.
Well there's only half as many of you.
Right. Or twice as many of us.
Right.
We used to vote yes on everything anyway.
Right. Well, obviously, we are a citizen legislature here in South Dakota, and you want to hear from the people who have elected you on different topics and access to our legislators. Before I get to the how to find you and how to contact you for our folks out there, just some quick thoughts as folks who live right here in Pierre, Fort Pierre, right smack in the heart of South Dakota, some thoughts on the new access pass system that is coming to the Capitol. Just kind of letting folks know, have you heard much what to expect as they're coming in and out of the Capitol when they come and try and chat with you for legislative session? Senator? You're
talking about the metal detectors and all that, I told them they could do it a lot cheaper. They could just take a little chihuahua and put it outside. He'd bark at anybody not supposed to be there.
It's valid.
I think we're actually, I'm kind of curious to see how this works. A lot of people can get, you know, if they submit the information, they can get a season pass, so to speak, where they can get a card and kind of bypass a lot of the stuff. But I've never felt threatened up in the Capitol, not once. That may change this year now that certain people can carry guns, and that the idea of bringing it up that we're going to have a security system to go through, just that kind of bothers me a little bit. It's always been the people's house. I'm just kind of anxious to see how it's going to work, and I hope it doesn't deter anybody from coming up to see us.
Ideally, it's, you know, from what I've heard from the official side in the governor's office and the agencies, just kind of a product of the era we live in, not so much anything that's happened here. So,
and that is sad that we really, it is a function of the times we live in. I was glad to hear the administration is looking at doing kind of a fast pass kind of mechanism for lobbyists who come in all the time, for, you know, interns who work there, for my spouse who comes over to buy me lunch on the days when nobody else is. You know, there, I think there might be some bumps the first few weeks or two, especially when we have groups of school children coming in. As far as guns in the Capitol, you know, I've never felt threatened. Theoretically, because I have the enhanced carry permit, I could ask to carry in the Capitol. I don't want to because I just think I would do a terrible job at possibly endangering other people. So I've always thought Capitol security did a good job.
It's not actually a bad idea, because if you're somebody across the ocean looking to hurt somebody, South Dakota would be the perfect target because nobody would suspect it.
As far as folks getting in touch with you, I mean, maybe don't know a lot of the topics, a lot of the things yet, because we're not rolling and going. But once things do start and they're hearing things, you know, on the news and watching the LRC website, and they've got some thoughts, some comments, some insight, What's the best way to reach you folks, to reach out? I guess we'll start with Representative Duell.
Flag me down if you see me at the grocery store or wherever. You can call my home phone number and leave a message. We're in the phone book. Or you can send an email. Email for me is probably the most convenient, and it's really simple. You can either go through the Legislative Research Council website, or you can email maryduval@midco.net. If you're going to email me, let me know whether or not you're actually a resident of District 24. If I get an anonymous email, I don't respond to it. If I get a bunch of copy and paste emails, I don't respond to those either. But if you have an issue, send me an email. Tell me what your key points are. And if you're from District 24, I will get back to you.
I think a lot of people already know how to get a hold of me. Phone number 222-7829. Just texting works for me. I check my emails about every, like, never. Pretty hard to get a hold of me by email, unless you can send it to legislature.gov, South Dakota, sdlegislature.gov. Can find our emails there, our name at there.
And for you, Representative
And
Rouse?
I think email works the best. Our days get pretty long sometimes, and people say, well, you're out whining and dining all night, but we're not. We're usually out working with constituents or with, you know, groups come into Pierre often. Could they be realtors, nurses, ambulance groups? They all have issues. So we spend some time meeting with them and listening to them and talking with them. But by the time we get home at night or to our rooms, it's getting pretty late. Email works fantastic because that's when I do most of my communication, is late at night or 4 o'clock in the morning. For a couple hours in, I read emails, and Representative Duval was correct. If you have an anonymous email, I will look at it, but I'm not going to respond to it. If you just cut and paste what 200 other people are doing, I'm not going to respond to it. But if you take your own words and put it on the email and talk about an issue, or, you know, spend some time on the email, I'm going to have to spend time. I will respond. I'm in the phone book, and then I also have, you know, the legislative email. I got my personal email, reprounds@gmail.com. I'll try and get back with people as quickly as I can.
Any parting words, or have we covered things to this point for you folks?
Well, thank you again, Jody, for having us in, and thank you for anybody who's listening. And do reach out to us. Let us know what's on your mind, because our job is to represent the people who live here.
I would like to express my thanks for everybody that's listening, and I really appreciate the time that they've given me in the Senate. It's been incredibly interesting. I hope I've done some good things, and Ken in the House too.
I'd like to thank the people of District 24 for allowing me to serve them the past, well, really it's been 18 years. I served 8 years, sat out 2 years, and now this will be my 16th year in the legislature, hopefully I have represented the citizens well. All of us came in at the same time 8 years ago. All of us is going to be their eighth year for Senator Monroe, and then Representative Duvall's eighth year and my eighth year. I can't speak for them. I know I am not going to return. And with that, I've enjoyed it. I really thank the people for allowing me this honor to represent.
All right. Again, you're listening to South Dakota Perspective here on KGFX of the Dakota Radio Group, and hearing from District 24 legislators, Representative Mary Duvall, Representative Tim Rounds, and Senator Jeff Monroe. I'm Dakota Radio Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra.